救急。私のトライアングルランサーは勝率 100%。
And trust me when I say my sauce tastes good。
Hey everyone, I'm James Darnell, otherwise known as Pulse on the internet, and welcome to Big Fight Feel, a podcast that looks to explore the colorful, sincere, and hard-hitting world of Joshi professional wrestling. And I gotta be honest with you, I was pretty anxious to kick this episode off. This is episode number one, man. It's very exciting, but I was very anxious, which is weird. I usually am not anxious when it comes to things like this. I've been making content, specifically wrestling content, for over 8 years on YouTube. I've had a podcast about the WWE that was well over 100 episodes. We followed it for years. For years. I've done this 100,000 times. I've done it successfully 100,000 times. But I gotta be honest with you, I was very anxious to kick this one off. And maybe it's because the subject of the matter. I just started getting into Joshi wrestling this year. As weird as that sounds coming on to a Joshi-specific wrestling podcast, I just got into Joshi wrestling this year. And comparing to WWE, where I had my other podcast, Instant Gratification, you know, it's just been a little different. I've been into WWE since I was a kid, and Joshi is something I just got into this year. So it's kind of left me a little vulnerable, you know? I could get things wrong. People could not agree with me. It's honestly a little scary, but I think that's what makes it so interesting and makes me so excited to get started on this, because I'm literally exploring this for the first time this year. All of this stuff is new to me. All these women, all these wrestlers, all these promotions, all this stuff is pretty much new to me. I think the only real experience I had to Joshi wrestling might have been old WCW, like 1995 matches, you know, with whether it be Bull Nakano or Aja Kong, or, you know, it's just kind of all I've seen of Joshi, or maybe random Kenny Omega versus, you know, small girls. other than what I've gotten into this year, that was all I was ever predisposed to of Joshi wrestling. And I kind of fell in love with it immediately once I got into it. I mean, it's something new and fresh for me. The characters of Joshi, the sincerity of everything, it made it very easy to get into. And Stardom made it even easier as a stinky gaijin to get into the swing of things. I mean, I'm learning Japanese. Like, that's something that I am learning, and hopefully one day I will be very good at. Or at the very least, I don't look like a big bozo. But for the time being, I am an English-speaking adult, so Stardom kind of makes it easy for people like me to get into it, especially with the way that they translate all the pre-tapes, and they translate stuff like Nasu being on commentary, like stuff like just things like that. It's very nice. It's very easy. It's very easy for me to get into as someone who doesn't speak Japanese very well just yet. I'm not a Joshi expert, obviously. I'm sure you could figure that out just by the fact that I just started getting into Joshi wrestling this year. I mean, if you didn't figure that out, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe one day this podcast will be the Joshi expert podcast. You know, maybe people on Reddit will be like, this guy right here, man, he's the Joshi expert. Today, maybe not that day, but maybe sometime in the future. Maybe that'll be something fun to follow. Maybe by the time we get to episode 100, I'll know everybody. I won't mispronounce any names. I'll get all the moves right. I'll know everybody's finish. I'll be able to import CDs from Stardom and give out theme songs that no one else has on YouTube. Maybe we'll be that crazy. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to that point. Now, most people know me from my pretty popular YouTube channel where I go by Pulse. I pretty much primarily cover mainstream Western wrestling, but I wanted to create this because it's a hobby of mine, you know? I don't have any huge, big plans for this. It's just something I wanted to do. And I think that's how some of the best things start, man. You're passionate and you want to share. And I think that's how some of the best things start. Hell, I started most of my YouTube stuff from that. I didn't start YouTube thinking it was ever going to be a career. I didn't start my old podcast thinking it was ever going to take off by any means. But here we are. And both of them have been doing pretty damn well for the most part. So I just wanted to create this show because I wanted a place to share my thoughts and interests with others, you know? I think the best way to get people into things is to just expose them to how much it makes you happy. I don't think that you can really shove things into people's faces and expect them to be like, yes, absolutely. I think that maybe you were correct. I think that that's not the way to do things. So instead of telling people, you know, how much better, like I can make a YouTube video and say like, WWE sucks. They can't do nothing right. Stardom's where it's at. We get real over here. But what's the point in that? Because the comments are just going to be like, ugh, shut up, dude. You just like it because this dir-da-dir is not as good as that. I just don't see the point in doing that, you know? I feel like if I instead just kind of seeped in Joshi content here and there, showed them how much it makes me happy and showed them how much I enjoy watching it and how excited I am to see some of these women wrestle and some of these matchups and how passionate I am about it, maybe that will make them feel the same way or at least want to explore that feeling. You know, it's I've been watching WWE a long time. And at some point, you will get tired of it. And you will want to, there's two things that happen. You will want to either A, find something different, or B, just stop watching. And that's almost where I was at, where I would just stop watching. I think my last podcast episode, other than All In, which was the I guess they weren't exactly AEW yet, but my last podcast episode for a show called Instant Gratification for WWE was, I think, sometime in 2017. I think that's the correct year. But from 2017 up until the point where I got into Joshi, which was earlier this year, I pretty much just didn't watch wrestling at all. And it wasn't a conscious decision to stop watching wrestling. I kept up with wrestling. I mean, it's my job. I need to at least keep up with it just a little bit, you know. I would watch the WWE pay-per-views if people wanted me to do a watch party on my YouTube channel. But the most part, I was completely disconnected with it. I decided, you know, I'm just going to go get a full-time job. You know, there's nothing left for me here. I'm just completely disconnected from this. I convinced myself that the only way that I can make a living is if, make a living in this field is if I were to only cover the big WWE shows. And, that wasn't exactly the case. It turns out that people like me a little more than just for the WWE coverage that I do. But I digress from that situation. I'm just excited to get into this and explore this. And really, I dove head first. And I don't even think I've come up for air in the past few months. Honestly, I've just been down here in the trenches, just looking up anything and everything Joshi that I can possibly find. Literally. It's quite interesting to go back and watch stuff like that, especially the earlier Joshi stuff where these women were fucking dying. Like these women were like, they were killing each other. It's a little different nowadays, especially with some of the more popular promotions like Stardom or like TJPW, which are the two that I really dove into. I got really, really into Stardom really quick, and that's because they made it super easy for me to do so. TJPW is one that I've been exploring a lot and one that I keep up with. Not as much as I would like to right now, but that's mostly because I have to read off a Twitter page to understand half the stuff that's going on because they don't translate anything. And that's to no fault of their own. They're in no position to have to translate anything. You know, Stardom doesn't have to do what they do, but it's nice. Like I said, the show is basically just a passion project for me. What I'm expecting is to just build a community of people that I can talk about one of my biggest hobbies in my life right now. So that's kind of what my plan is in the time being. I want to show people that maybe only watch me, you know, some of my audience. I have a big built-in audience already. I mean, it's hard to deny that. So at least some people will watch this. I'm hoping that maybe some people that don't watch Joshi also tune in one day for, you know, why not? Just check it out. I'm sure that somebody will be watching this that isn't super into Joshi. And then, you know, they only watch WWE stuff for the most part. And they learn that, hey, there's a bunch of other wrestling that's fun to watch. And the community over here is great. That's one of the biggest things about me getting into Joshi was that everyone was super nice to me. I don't know if that's the case with everybody. The Joshi community. Has been nothing but fantastic to me. I literally have no bad words about anything I've seen. Maybe except for there seems to be like a B hate squad on Twitter, but that, we'll talk about that later in the evening. She has quite a match against Suzuki tonight on the Cork and All show. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, like been fantastic. I'm sure there's some bad apples in the mix or whatever, but I, you know, in the community that I hang around in my Discord and on my Twitter, we just love it, man. And we're just here to support and nurture and love and show our passion and get excited, man. We just like what we like. So hopefully we get more people into the mix. We can grow this community and just have a good time. So like I said, today or tonight, whatever time you listen to this, we're going to be talking about the Stardom Cork and Hall show, which happened on May 16th, 2019. And this was a pretty big show. Okay, we had six matches on this card, three of them title matches. So that's compared to the rest of the cards that have been out for Stardom, this is a pretty stacked card. We had the Artist of Stardom Championship is on the line. We had the World of Stardom Championship and the Wonder of Stardom Championship, with the main event being the Wonder of Stardom Championship match between Momo Watanabe and Arisa Hoshiki. Arisa won the recent Cinderella tournament, where I actually made a YouTube video on that, where you might not even know that was me. But I made a YouTube video on it that did pretty well, surprisingly. Numbers-wise, it pretty much did align with what my WWE stuff does, which was pretty interesting. I think it's maybe because the topic was, it was a very scandalous topic. It was about the two guy jeans that were in the crowd that would not stop chanting. Whew, man, what a bad time. I was actually going to start this podcast for the Cinderella tournament, since that was my very first Cinderella tournament that I've ever watched from start to finish. That was bad. So I decided not to do that. Maybe not. Maybe not. Anyways, trying to finish this show was horrible. And it's not Stardom's fault. Well, nah, it's not Stardom's fault. It's my fault. Well, and Google's fault. So this show's been up for a little bit anyways. It only took like 5 or 6 days for them to get the full show up. I started watching this show on June 1st, which was a few days ago, but I had a family member coming to town and I decided to go hang out with them. So I saw the first three matches and then I had to put the rest of it on pause. And I was like, oh, you know, I won't think anything of it. The way that Stardom uploads stuff, I'll be okay. I went to finish it the next day, June 2nd, and I'll be damned if Stardom World wasn't down every 20 minutes. Now, I understand that Google Cloud services were having some issues that day. YouTube was down, Snapchat was down, everybody's freaking out. It was a damn catastrophe. I couldn't even upload a video to YouTube because everybody was just like, ah! It's terrible. Now, I'm not sure if the Google Cloud services are related to Stardom World. I don't know what they run it on. I assume they use some sort of cloud service. Most people use Amazon. I think New Japan uses Amazon Cloud services. I'm not entirely sure. Just nerd talk, but whatever the case may be, Stardom was down, and every time I would go to click a match, it would give me an internal server error all day long. Just terrible. Just awful. So, I finished the show. Obviously, it took me a while, but I'll be dead if I didn't get the show done. And it was a pretty good show, man. I'll be honest with you. It was good. We'll talk about everything. We'll break everything down. We'll go from the very first opening match, and then we'll head on down to the main event with Momo and Arisa. Now, the way that we're going to be doing this is I'm going to be just kicking it off, like kind of going the way that everything happens on the show. We'll talk about the pre-tape, the entrances, the match. I'll give you a winner and I'll give you a rating. So the way that we're going to rate stuff on the show is here's what the thing is. Wrestling is weird, man. I've tried to give wrestling numbers. I've really tried to rate wrestling by numbers, but I don't watch a wrestling match and go, that suplex, that's going to be a 0.25 extra star. That spot is an absolute extra star. Take away half a star for this botch. I just don't watch wrestling like that. I either love the match, like the match, or didn't care. There's only three things that I take away from a wrestling match. Did I enjoy watching it? Would I recommend this match? And that's pretty much it. So my I like to call them good to knows for the show here. If you hear me give a rating of recommended, that means that I want you to check this match out if you had the chance. It's not must watch, but if you got time, I would definitely check this match out. Highly recommended means you should go out of your way to watch this match. That's it, flat out. I don't care if you don't have time, you will find time. So those are my big two ratings, man. Either I just have nothing to say, you know, like you don't have to worry about checking it out. You know, it was probably ended up being good anyways, but it just wasn't anything to write home about. Recommended, which means that you should probably check it out, and highly recommended, which is like must watch. Like I said, I try to give numbers to stuff, but it just doesn't feel right in my heart to give numbers. I'm not going to force myself to give numbers just because everybody else gives numbers. You know, we're going to do things how I want to do them, and that's just how it be. Like I said, if I mispronounce a name here as we go through everything, I apologize. Like I said, I just got into Joshi this year. I'm still learning everything. I have to fight against my Southern heritage and my inability to enunciate on a daily basis. I'm learning Japanese currently, and I hope one day to become better. And, you know, maybe one day I'll be able to do the whole podcast in Japanese. I'll do a Japanese and English version. Wouldn't that be great? I'm getting old, man. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe I'll be fluent enough to have pretty good conversations by the time I'm 30. Where has the time gone, man? I started YouTube when I was like 18 or 19. I'm 26 years old. Anyways, we kicked off the Cork and Hall show this evening. Well, when I say this evening, you know what I mean. 516. We kicked off the Cork and All show. We had a three-way tag battle. We had Queen's Quest versus Stars versus Oedo Tai. We had Lito Onozaki. We had Hina, Starlight Kid, Hanan, Natsuko, Tora, and Andras Miyagi. And it was cool, man. This is actually good. And I really don't have enough. As much as Oedo Tai is having sort of like a transition period from what it seems like where they just having a hard time, man. They're just truly having a hard time. I can't say that they still don't entertain the hell out of me. You know, a lot of people feel like Tokyo Cyber Squad has kind of taken over that sort of market that Oedo Tai had, but I feel like they still deliver a lot of good stuff. We kicked off the pre-tapes for this match. We had Andras actually saying words. I don't know if anyone has realized this, but since Andras has signed full-time, she has said words. She didn't talk very much before, but I'll be damned if she isn't a blabbermouth now. It looks like the demons have allowed her to talk. It's always a treat to see Andras talking, man. I really like her a ton. She's definitely one of my favorites. Now, let me talk about Natsuko here. All right. She's looking at some damn markers on her phone during the pre-tape, and she can't be bothered. She just doesn't want to do it. My favorite Stardom wrestler is Jungle Kiona. And I feel like that's all I need to say. Natsuko is interesting, and it's weird with her name also, because I want to call her Natsuko, but Yuri calls her Natsuko, and I feel like that's just to add another thing, so I'm just gonna call her Natsuko. If that's an issue with you, tell me. Maybe I'll fix it, maybe I won't. We'll see how things play out. But I hate that she just terrorizes Kiona. I want Kiona to just lariat her out of her shoes, her little baby Asics. I just want her to just lariat her right out of them. But I will be damned if I haven't put Natsuko on my recommended list at least 4 or 5 times in the past few weeks. She has gotten so good, so quick, it's insane. I mean, it's incredible. Since joining Oedo Tai, she has been having just performance after performance. It obviously doesn't hurt that she's facing Kiona, which is probably one of the best workers on this show. But in her own regard, I have nothing nice to say about her, and I have all the nice things to say about her. I'm the worst and the best. Incredible. So we move over to Leo. Leo is interesting. Leo said, "Let's win," and Stars said that, you know, they have a lot of stuff going on in school right now. The Stars Starlight Kid, like, I got school to worry about. I don't know. We're gonna try our best though. That's usually how Stars promo goes. Yeah, we're in school and we're gonna try our best. Blah blah blah. So we go over to the entrances here for QQ versus Stars versus Oedo Tai. We have Yuri in this fantastic little bow tie dress, which I feel like I could rock. Like, I was looking at that, I'm like, you know, I could probably look good in this. You know, biceps showing, I'd be looking right. You know, my quads be all popping out and shit. I'd be looking good. If anyone knows where to buy that, Yuri, I don't know, maybe you understand what I'm saying here. I'll add it to my closet. Natsuko comes out in this red jumpsuit that resembles pajamas, which works perfectly with her doesn't give a shit attitude. Andras and Natsuko do this little hand sign with one finger up and one finger down that I don't recall ever seeing this before. Maybe this is the, I'm pretty sure it's the first time they've done it, because Oedo Tai just debuted their new phrase at the Golden Week shows, where they are the best and the worst, we are Oedo Tai. And I can only assume that the up finger and the down finger means that. They didn't exactly say that with their mouths, but I don't think they exactly needed to. At first, I thought they were going to... At first, Natsuko put up the L. I was like, they going to throw up the LAX hand sign? I was super confused. I thought Supermax was going to be doing a stardom run, and I didn't know what was going on. She put up the L. I'm like, LAX, yeah! I didn't know what was happening. Now, we go over, and we have Leo Onozaki, and she's coming out in her new outfit with her little Queen's Quest match, and Hina's got the same. She's got her own little outfit now, and they both have their own mask, and it's cool to finally see them into the Queen's Quest gimmick. You know, everybody in Queen's Quest tonight came out with their mask. Even B came out later in the evening with it, and Hio and Leo's attire is really neat. I will say this. Look, I love Leo, okay? I love her so much, man. There's something about her that just, I don't know. Maybe it was me going to her Twitter page and seeing her with her little cake, and it's got her debut on Stardom and how happy she was and how happy she looks just to be there all the time. There's something about Leo that I love it. I love it so much. I will say this much, because I see everybody in the community on Twitter and in my Discord even talking about Leo Onozaki's attire, her pants, her shiny, I'm not saying this, but the community says it's garbage bag pants and garbage bag attire. As far as I'm concerned, that was one of my favorite things about Leo Onozaki. I'm going to pour one out for Leo's mid-2000s IWA Mid-South Jack Evans attire. There's no one in Joshi Wrestling that pays respect to IWA Mid-South more than Leo Onozaki. And I'll tell you something, man. I'm going to be super disappointed when she's not wearing that attire anymore. She could break out a 630 at any point, and I'm giving props, okay? She could be in Tournament of Survival, and no one would bat an eye. Any point. She could face Necro Butcher, it'd be cool, all right? I got no problem. Chris Hero comes out the mix. Leo Onozaki. I mean, I hope she brings it back every once in a while. That's all I'm saying. This new attire is cool. Yeah, yeah, Queen's Quest, I get it. Yeah, bow to the whatever. Bring back the IWA Mid-South, mid-2000s attire, all right? Jack Evans is shook. I saw her tweet recently, actually, seeing that Hanan was in this match, that she got some bad news about her back, which is super sad to hear. She can keep it under control for the most part with treatments, from what I understand, but it's just sort of something she'll have to live with, which is very sad to hear. It's also could be a very genetic thing, so maybe nothing that Hanan did exactly. It just kind of happened. MS is sort of like that. She don't get me wrong, I don't think she has MS, which would, how old is Hanan? 14? That would be absolute insanity to hear she had that. It's not that. I don't remember the exact diagnostic. I can't say the word. I can't remember the exact diagnosis, but it was something to do with her lower back and how she's been in pain recently. And like I said, it could have come from just wear and tear, or it could have just been genetic. And if it could be genetic, then it could happen to Hina and Rina, which is something I thought about instantly, which I really hope is not the case. And I really hope that it doesn't derail Hanan's career at any point, because she's been super fantastic. I really do not have enough good things to say. She's good. She's very, very good. And it'd be a damn shame if she had to cut her career short because of something that she couldn't even control. That would just suck. So we start off here with a three-way tag battle. And I love that everyone in this match just instantly bum-rushed Oedotai. Didn't even give him a second. Natsuko is going to feel the wrath from everyone in Stardom for what she did to Jungle Kiyona. Whether it's intentional or not, we respect Kiyona in this dojo. Do you understand what I am saying? Hanan and Hina immediately went after each other. You knew they were going to. And they sort of had this one-upsmanship, which is a lot of... they do this a lot in Stardom. The one-upsmanship is a huge spot. Of who's going to get the STO on the other one first. And that's something that I personally love. Hanan and Hina do this spot a lot. Stuff like Arisa doing the... she's very good at the collar and elbow like battle. The test of strength. Just small things like that are just super, super cool. And everyone seems to have their own little thing that they do. And Hanan and Hina had a pretty good thing going on here. Of course, Hanan won because she's the more experienced and the older one. It makes sense. But I think Hina's moving her way up the ladder pretty damn quick. I mean, she's got herself a little mask, got herself a little attire now. Hina's moving up. I also don't know if this is pure coincidence, but the amount of girls in this promotion that all wear some variation of ASICS wrestling shoes is insane. Now, I wasn't a wrestler in high school. I haven't trained wrestling. Maybe one day I am getting a little old. But for the most part, ASICS wrestling shoes are super popular for powerlifting, and that is something that I do do. As it's a flat shoe, it's got good support. ASICS wrestling shoes are super popular because they're cheap and they're flat and they're good support, mostly for the ankle too. It's just good. I just thought it was funny because for the most part, I just only noticed Natsuko wearing it. Like, I'd always just notice her with her little booties on. And I'm like, oh, look at these. I guess you got ASICS on. And then I noticed in this match, frick, dude, like half the match has got ASICS on. I feel like Natsuko was like, hey, everybody, the ASICS are cool, man. These are cool. These are neat. Ohedo Tai ended up picking up the W in the first match here as Natsuko just straight up spikes Leo with a huge pile driver. I did not expect that at all. She brought that out of left field. That was crazy. She just picked Leo straight up and went, boof. And that was it, man. Frog splash for the win. Now, here's the thing. I hope that she doesn't ditch the guillotine leg drop. That's one of my favorite moves from Natsuko is the guillotine leg drop. And I'm thinking that maybe she's ditching it because, good Lord. During the Cinderella tournament, man, she just straight up destroyed Kiona. I mean, that was rough. That was really, really rough. And I don't know if it was because Natsuko just ended up just jumping too high or Kiona wasn't in the right place. I'm not pinning blame on anybody. Shit just happens in wrestling. But I'll be damned if Natsuko didn't just straight up land on Kiona's head. I mean, it was bad. I was like, sheesh. Them butt cheeks, dude. Just, oh my God. She just destroyed her. It was brutal. It was brutal, but it was a mistake. And that's why I'm saying I hope that Natsuko doesn't ditch the guillotine leg drop because she switched to a frog splash here. I hope that maybe that was just a one-off, you know, like, I don't feel like doing the guillotine leg drop. Now, I don't think she should be doing it all the time, and that's one of my biggest things is seeing people do guillotine leg drops from the top is, shit, you can look at Matt Hardy. That takes a toll on your body after a while. But I do love the move, and I do think that it was a fantastic move for her. Maybe don't do it all the time, but I hope she really didn't just ditch it just because of that one spot where it got messed up. You know, it's just... So the winner of the match was Ohedo Tai. Natsuko pinned Leo, and no rating for this match, but it was a good opener. I enjoyed it. Now, we're moving on to the second match of the evening, which was a three-way battle between Saya Iida, Death Yama-san, and Natsu Sumire. Stars versus TCS versus Ohedo Tai. And I'll be damned if Death Yama-san isn't the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'm already super... I would not be surprised if she had a championship belt within the next few months, to be honest with you. I truly, truly believe... From what I understand, Rossi also really likes Death, so it'll be interesting to see if he decides to throw her the bizel. It looks like they're treating Death as a new wrestler completely, not acknowledging her... I'm doing air quotations, by the way. Not acknowledging her past life, which is probably not a bad thing. I mean, you know, it's probably a good thing that I decided to do this. I mean, obviously the wrestlers are kind of like, I mean, you have in the pre-tape alone, like Saya was like, I'm very confused. I have no idea what's going on. I'm pretty sure I teamed with her before, but at the end of it, she's like, I'm just going to beat her with the Itabashi. Okay, here's the thing. I just absolutely adore Saya Iida. I really, really do. I feel like she's the future ace, man. She is the future ace. If Stardom could put up a Green Stars shirt on the international store, I would buy it in 15 seconds. Maybe 10. 5? Go as quick as possible. When I saw that her finish, not only did she name it, but it's a pin combination. Oh my God. Just give her all the championships. Come on, Mr. Ogawa-san. Just give her all the championships. So... we come out for the entrances, and Natsu has her own camera now for her entrance, and it's called the Natsu Cam, and she's a vlogger! How cool is that? She needs tips on how to make videos. I might know a guy who does quite a lot of videos. On the other hand, it scares me a lot that they just gave Natsu a DSLR and said, feel free to do whatever you want. They're super expensive. DSLRs are not cheap. I have a couple of them. I have a T3i. I have an 80D. I got a mirrorless Sony also. They are not cheap, and especially if they're not using the stock lens. I'm pretty sure they're using the stock lens on the DSLR, but regardless of the case, a couple $100s to a couple $1,000s. So, I don't know, man. Natsu was pretty. She was just like, look at this camera. I was like, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Now, I like to imagine that Death Yama-san just saw a random Kiss WCW match, like, ah, yeah, the Kiss Demon. It was like, yes, that is me. I am the Kiss Demon. Her entrance is fantastic with her just rolling around, and even Yuri got into it. Seeing Yuri do the devil horns was fucking lit. I was like, yeah, this is sweet. I feel like this is the start of a very, very big push for Death Yama-san. I mean, I hear Rossi is even a big fan of it, so that's really neat. I can already tell that Death and Natsu are going to be a lot of fun together. To be honest with you, everyone with Natsu is just fun. I mean, she's seriously so underrated. She's never mentioned as anyone's favorite, but she's absolutely one of my favorites. She's so talented, naturally funny, charismatic. She's got the look. What does she not have? Well, the only thing she doesn't have is that she's not signed full-time with Stardom. If you want to make that happen, Natsu, I can feel a big push coming your way, brother. She's seriously amazing. I have so many moments in my head already just from this year of stuff that Natsu has done that has just been stuff that's just stuck with me. She's fantastic. I really cannot say enough good things about Natsu Sumire. Now, we get started with the match, and you guys know how in the PlayStation 2 era wrestling games, how wrestlers would have this like default stance? Like you would boot up like, here comes the pain, or shut your mouth, or just bring it even. You use Scotty Too Hotty or the Hurricane, and you launch it up and you get into the ring, and they're just standing there and they have this ridiculous stance. They're just like, do, 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 do. You know, Scotty's doing this little bumping and grinding thing. Hurricane's doing the thing with his arms. You know, everyone just has this ridiculous stance that works for their gimmick. I would hope that if there was a Stardom game, that Death Yama-san would have the default stance be her with her tongue out and doing the devil horns. She literally only, this is my favorite thing, she literally did nothing in this match but throw devil horns and stick her tongue out and go, death, death, death. She's like Matt Damon, man. Matt Damon, death. I loved it. It's so simple, but it's fantastic. I mean, hell, during this match alone, she had to have done it 200 times. Now, speaking of future ace Saya, she hit a freaking double Itabashi in this match. I'm telling you, man. Saya Ida is the future ace of Stardom, dude. I'm super excited to see her find her place amongst everybody, man. The double Itabashi. She is wilding out, dude. Nothing but good things. Death Yama-san ends up winning the match. She hits a big roll up on Saya as Natsu and Saya get into an argument in the corner. And of course, you know, had to pin Saya Ida. Couldn't just pin Natsu, huh? Natsu's been eating pins for damn near a whole year. You can just go ahead and drop her like a sack of hot rocks. But Death Yama-san ends up pinning her and picks up the W. Like I said, I feel they're going to push her. They're going to push her hard. I just know it. No rating for this match, but I enjoyed it. It was fun. Now, okay. We're heading into the third match of the evening, which is a singles match, which is Toni Storm versus Kugetsu. And it's, I wrote this down, WWE versus Ohedo Tai, which is hilarious out of context. Now, I'll be honest with you. I sort of didn't want to watch this match, especially when I saw it was over 20 minutes. I was like, oh, here we go. Look, don't get it twisted. I love Kugetsu so much. Literally nothing but love. I just haven't super been into any of Toni Storm's matches on her Stardom run. I don't necessarily have anything wrong with Toni. I definitely don't have anything against her. I actually like Toni a lot. It's just, I knew pretty much how these were going to go, especially against Kugetsu. I thought for maybe a minute that they wouldn't go to a time limit draw just because Kugetsu dropped the title to B recently, but they obviously still want to keep Kugetsu strong, so that's good. Toni just, she slows everything down. It's very WWE-esque in the way that she presents our matches. And Toni's sort of always been like that. It's not like she was ever like a super high-paced, super creative wrestler. And, you know, she just kind of wrestled a WWE style. She always was with that WWE formula, you know? Everyone's wrestling the same Triple H match, but they just have a different finish. It's just like, it's like, all right, we'll start off, you know, collar and elbow tie up. She'll put them in a headlock. They'll go to the ground. Oh, someone gets the upper hand. Oh, 8-minute heat segment. Babyface comeback. Finish. And it's just like, oh, okay. You know, it's just like everything is just the same. You know, he's like, which is the complete opposite of what we get later in the evening with B and Hazuki. But, you know, I knew what we were getting into with this one. We hit the pre-tape. Kugetsu has no clue. I has no clue what a Toni time is. Toni says in her pre-tape that she doesn't lose anymore. She just flat out says it. I don't lose. has she ever lost? She's technically right. I can't even remember the last time that I saw Toni Storm eat a pin, and I'm not talking about Stardom alone. I'm talking about literally anywhere. She is very few and far between from the time that she eats pins. She also says that she doesn't have... No, this is the worst. This is like a red herring. She says that she doesn't have a lot of time tonight. She doesn't want to do a time limit draw. You know, she says literally, I don't have time for a time limit draw, which is great, except this went to a time limit draw. We all knew it was going to, man. We all knew it was. And I don't inherently have issues with time limit draws. It's just I wasn't very excited to see this one. But I'll be damned if this match didn't turn around. Kagetsu does this fantastic escape at one point in the match where she bounces on both sides of Toni Storm and just flips right out of her hold. Tony's got her on the ground and Kagetsu just flips right out and just, that's total Kagetsu, man. Like I said, the little things in Stardom are just really, really neat. Separates people. I was glad to see that Kagetsu ended up getting physical with Toni in this match. She started using chairs and things like that. She went under the ring. She threw Toni into the chairs in the crowd. This match definitely needed this sort of physicality to get my attention. Because I'll be honest with you, I thought it was just going to be Toni Storm laying in a lock for 10 minutes and then go into a time limit draw. Kind of like the Momo match. That was the match I was looking forward to the most, and just it did not connect with me at all. Toni locked in a standing dragon sleeper on Kagetsu that Kagetsu ended up reversing by walking towards the rope, flipping backwards off the turnbuckle, landing on her feet, and then getting Toni into a dragon sleeper of her own. Kagetsu is the greatest. It just makes me wonder even more why she dropped the belt to be Priestly when obviously Kagetsu's been putting on the best performances of the past year in the past month. It's just insanity. Kagetsu bumped like a madman for Toni. No reason. She literally had no reason to bump for Toni. Not even a little bit. But that's just how Kagetsu is, you know? She loves it. She does it. She wants to do the best every time she's out there. I got nothing but respect. Kagetsu blows mist into Daichi's face, which is by accident because Toni was, you know, chilling there. This stopped Toni from getting the pin on the strong zero pile driver as she hit that. Kagetsu then blew the mist into Tony's face when Toni went to the top rope and went for the flying nothing. She just came off the top and I don't even know what she was possibly going for. A double axe handle, steamboat chop. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know what she was doing. She was going for something. But she gets hit in the face by the mist. Kagetsu goes to the top rope, hits the Oedo coaster, 2 count. She sets up for the Death Valley driver and time limit draw. I'll be honest with you, this was actually a good match. I'm glad I watched it. I strongly considered just skipping it, but Kagetsu put on a performance and like I said, I got nothing but good things to say. This is actually one of my favorite matches on the card. I've been on belief that Kagetsu though, and especially with the way this match went and her last match, she's starting to retire the Oedo coaster. I don't know. It just seems like it. I can feel it. It's in the air. There's some sort of mystical space scientific things happening around my head. I feel like she's going to retire the Oedo coaster because it's just kind of hasn't been putting away any higher tier people lately. I just haven't seen it. You know, this is just an observation, but it just seems to take a lot. It takes a lot out of her. I mean, like physically, it looks like she's going to blow her fucking knees out every time she does it. I can only assume that years of doing this kind of starts to wear down on you. And a lot of people think that if she stops doing the Oedo coaster, that someone else in Oedo Tai has to start doing some sort of top rope move. We had Hazuki at one point try to do some shooting star presses, but she almost died. So maybe not Hazuki. But I think that if Kagetsu was going to start retiring the Oedo coaster, now would probably be a good time because this is sort of a transition period for Oedo Tai as they try to find who they are. After all these changes, you know, a lot of changes, no more dancing, new attire, new music. I mean, new member. It's a lot going on in Oedo Tai, man. And TCS has sort of taken over where they left off. And I think now would be a good time for Kagetsu if she wanted to do that. So we ended up going to a time limit draw. No winner here. But this is my very first match of the show where I give it a recommended. Surprisingly, I didn't even want to watch this match. And it ended up being a recommended match. They did a good job. I think that Kagetsu did most of the hard work. For some reason, it seems like Toni doesn't want to be in Stardom. I can't imagine Triple H, like, I don't know, forced her hand. Go to Stardom. I feel like Toni wanted to go to Stardom, but it seems like Toni couldn't give less of a shit half the time she's there. Her pre-tapes are usually just, is Toni time? Whatever, let's get to the match. Ah! That's literally every Toni pre-tape. And then when she gets into the match, it's just the WWE formula match where, you know, drops a headlock, heat segment, babyface comeback, time limit draw. It's just like, it's just rough. I don't know. It's just like not, she, and I don't know if this was on purpose, but she didn't take too many bumps in this match. It honestly seemed like Kagetsu was doing everything. Like, if Kagetsu didn't come in here with a point to prove, this definitely wouldn't have been recommended. I'm just going to say that much. Like I said, I don't hate Tony. It's just observations. Observations. Now we get into the big match of the card, man. The big, big one. The Artists of Stardom titles are on the line. Hana Kimura, Jungle Kiona, and Konami, TCS, face off against Saki Kashima, Mayu Iwatani, and Tom Nakano. This is the match I really wanted to see from the show. This is it, all right? This is the big match. This match in the main event with Arisa and Momo were the two big matches that I wanted to see, okay? So we hit the pre-tape. The new render for the TCS trio is fantastic. It's just all of them doing the bird. Stone Cold would be super, super proud. It's a fantastic render. It's great. Nothing but good things to say. Looks like Hannah's new thing is to say, yo, what's up, before every pre-tape. During this pre-tape, yo, what's up? I don't know, man. No one else. You know, Konami and Kiona are just sitting there like, what the hell's going on here? I would like to think that Hannah would be a fantastic YouTuber. You know, she's very good at starting everything with, yo, what's up? I feel like she would do a good job with that. She needs help. I know a guy. Kiona is here with her safety goggles. I feel like Hannah was like, all right, Kiona, go get a gas mask. She comes back. Okay, I'm ready. Those are safety goggles. All right. Okay. I love Kiona, man. I'm actually in the middle of trying to find all the things that I can to do a Kiona Halloween outfit this year. The only thing I really need is the big light up gun. I have no idea where Hannah got those guns. I thought maybe Broken Doll sold them, but like her gas mask, that doesn't seem to be the case. If anyone knows, please tell me. Please tell me where to buy these guns. Hannah says a bunch of stuff in English in this pre-tape. Konami and Kiona just are completely lost. That's what I love, though. The TCS dynamic feels very real. Like, this is just how they are all the time. This is just TCS hanging out. They also happen to be wrestling this match for the title tonight. I also love that Kiona wears the face paint like 24/7. I saw a live stream of them just randomly eating lunch somewhere, and there's Kiona drinking sake and chilling with her face paint. She's just great, man. I mean, it's I love it. It's just fantastic. I just can't say enough good things about Kiona. So TCS comes out with their new music in this match, and I legit thought that my speakers just blew out completely. I thought that, like, oh, okay, well, something's wrong with my computer. It didn't sound like anything at first, just random weird sounds, and I love it. You know, just add some more random jungle noises and motorcycle sounds. Just bass boosted up to 200%, really hammer it in there, get in there real good. I love that the entirety of TCS came out to support the girls. I also find it interesting that Hannah was just like, hey, Ruaka, hey, Rena, here's some guns. I found that really interesting. Like, hello, small child, here's a gun. That's just Hannah, though. That's just how she is, man. Here, take these weapons and come out here and pose with them. Point one at your head if you could. Thank you. We also had Tom bringing back out Peachon for another tour, which is great, but I kind of miss Chibi Tom. You know, Chibi Tom was very lonely and just wanted somebody to buy her. I wanted to buy her. I offered to buy her. Mr. Ogawa-san, please let me buy Chibi Tom. Put it on the international store. Let me get it. So we start out the match here. TCS doesn't even let Stars get their full entrance. They just attack Mayu during her streamers. And this seems to be the case most of the time, as Hannah immediately goes for Mayu's knee. I'm just happy to see Mayu back in the mix just a little bit. I wasn't super excited to see her getting worked over in this match just because I know she hasn't fully recovered yet. She's returning full-time sometime this month, but I'm excited for that. But just seeing Hannah go to town, pretty much everyone go to town on her leg, was like, that's rough, okay. But, you know, Mayu's coming back this month. So is Izumi. Utami's coming back. I mean, I'm excited, man. The Super Rookie is back. I'm super excited about Utami. TCS, like I said, spent a lot of time working down Mayu's injured leg. Stars is pretty much all injured. All of them. Except for Saki. I think that Tom and Mayu are pretty injured, so that sucks. Tom's been working through some nagging injuries lately. Mayu is, in her own right, just impressive as hell. Even with her bum ass leg, it doesn't matter how many times I see Mayu work, I just fall in love with her every single time. Every time I think that, like, oh no, she's going to be a little hurt from this injury. She's like, oh, I'll work with one leg. I mean, TC has worked her leg the entire match. And this is like one of the little things that Mayu does is just so impressive. She just understands wrestling on just a level that other people just, I don't know. They just, it's little things. Like, she locked in a camel clutch in this match. And instead of just sitting in the camel clutch, she kicked out her worked leg. And then there was a spot in this match where she hit a drop kick. And after she hit the drop kick, she freaked out and started grabbing her leg and like crawled immediately for the tag. It doesn't sound like anything major when I say it out loud, but when you watch it, you realize just how good she truly is. It's just, it's impressive. I mean, she did a lot of great stuff in this match. Mayu is one of a kind. So Saki ends up, I love this. She ends up trying to go for the My Emblem, but Konami just said, nah, I don't think so. Ends up grabbing her, turns it into the Triangle Lancer, which we all know the Triangle Lancer win percentage is 100%. So that ends up getting TCS the victory. Konami taps out Saki with the Triangle Lancer. And looks like we got a new Artist of Stardom champions. I gave this match a recommended rating. Fantastic. They did a good job. Like I said, I didn't give it highly recommended, but they did a damn good job doing what they did with what they had, especially with an almost fully injured Stars team. I mean, this match was basically just to get the belt off Stars so Tom and Mayu can get some damn rest. It's pretty much what it was. TCS doesn't even have the belt for damn near 15 seconds, and they're already like, okay, which one of you motherfuckers wants to face us? Hannah challenges Oedo Tai, but she does it in the most Hannah Kimura way possible. She basically just says, all right, you shit motherfuck fucking Oedo Tai. We beat your ass. She calls him out and she says that that Oedo Tai has stolen TCS's camo look, which is something that everyone's been talking about. Are TCS and Oedo Tai too close to each other? Well, it looks like Hannah has made a challenge. The challenge is TCS versus Oedo Tai for the championships and for the camouflage. It's perfect. This is wrestling, dude. Like, fighting over the belts is one thing. Fighting over the camo pants is incredible. I love it, man. Konami grabs the mic. She wants Kagetsu at her homecoming show. It does not matter to Konami if Kagetsu dropped the red belt. She just wants that match. Of course, the homecoming show has already happened. I just have not watched it yet. I'm sure it's fantastic, but we, you know, have to get there. But I was very happy with this match. It was one of the matches I was really looking forward to, and it turned out being fantastic. So we have the World of Stardom title match, which was the fifth match on this card, which is B Prestuli versus Hazuki, but B just calls her Hazuki the entire time. I feel like B's doing it on purpose, but who knows? We got Queen's Quest versus Oedo Tai. B was actually scheduled to face Tony Storm, but things actually had to be changed because of B being affiliated with AEW and Tony, of course, being the WWE UK champion. Triple H put a big halt on that one. I will say this much. I think it turned out for the better. This match was fantastic, and the Kagetsu match was fantastic. So I think things actually turned out better that they went this way. We come to the entrance of this match. Hazuki comes out as usual and tosses the high-speed belt like a sack of garbage. B comes out with her little QQ mask because everybody on the QQ pretty much got their gimmick this year. Everybody got a mask now. There was this weird cut in the middle of B's entrance to Mr. Ogawa holding the belt. So I'm not sure if something happened or what in her entrance, but it was just very abrupt. They usually don't do that for the entrances. I don't know if time constraints, I'm not entirely sure, but something must have happened because it just randomly transitioned over to something else. Whatever. If I didn't read the results for this match, I legit would have thought Hazuki would have won in the beginning, to be honest with you. That's how convinced I was in the very beginning. I knew the results, yet I still thought for a second, I'm like, oh, she's about to beat her? Hazuki started off this match crazy. Just laid B out like a mattress. She starts off way faster than B is used to. She's a high-speed champion, you know? Big tope, hits a brain buster. B kicks out at two. Fires back with a warrior's way to the back of the head. They are wasting no time whatsoever. It was really cool. The pacing was fantastic. This is what I was talking about earlier, how things are completely different between a WWE formula and two girls actually like fighting and figuring things out for themselves. It's interesting, and it's something that, this is why I don't like seeing people go to WWE very often, is because I feel like they lose that sort of individualism. Like, yes, the WWE formula works. It works fantastic. It gets people over. It does things. It accomplishes stories and this and that. But there's something just, even if it's not, like, even if they botch, they mess up, whatever the case may be, it makes every match feel different. Like, it makes every match feel like it, you're watching something that you can only get from these two girls, you know? And I think that's really, really neat. But like I said, they wasted no time. They pull up this camera of Kagetsu watching this match very closely with her fucking Izumi shirt. Just a big picture of Izumi. It always pops me, man. There was this picture of Kagetsu and Izumi's line recently on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but it was pretty much the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's Kagetsu with some merchandise at Izumi's table. Please sign this. I loved it, man. That was fantastic. Hazuki ended up pulling out the white gear from this match, by this way. She was dripping way too hard. Way too hard. I thought that she was going to win the title because she came out with the white gear and she was dripping. Everything was crisp. I was like, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Hazuki has been, I don't know. What's the best way to put this? Hazuki has been taken over, okay? Hazuki has been taken over. I fully think that she's just aiming for the top. I mean, she was super impressive in this match, and she's been super impressive lately. She's always been impressive, but recently it seems like she has like had a chip on her shoulder. Hazuki has no wasted movement. Whether Hazuki realizes it or not, she's a ring general. I mean, she just gets things done. She commands respect. She commands that everyone in the ring understand what she's doing. I mean, she's just something else. Now B, on the other hand, she brought out a few just super sick backdrop drivers. Basically, B's moveset is like if you just watch like maybe some late 80s, like early 90s All Japan, just throwing some random matches with just Joshi people, and it's just like, okay, here's my moveset. I think that a lot of the B hate is kind of irrational. I don't think she's the top performer in Stardom, like, don't get me wrong. But I do definitely think she can bring the heat when need be. I think the problem is that a lot of people think that when they see the red belt champ that they should be the top performer in the company or damn near close. And like I said, I don't think B's the top performer. I feel like maybe they could have kept it on Kagetsu, even though they really had no plans for Kagetsu as a red belt champ. She just kind of was. I guess it's really sort of been a transition period for Stardom lately, especially with the departure of Io and, of course, Kairi and things like that. Io more recently, I guess. But it's sort of been a transition period, and putting it on Kagetsu was a safe bet. I'm guessing that B will drop it to Konami. I mean, like, if I was booking, I would have her drop it to Konami. My pipe dream would be Konami with a red belt and Kiona with a white belt. That's my dream. Just, Mr. Ogawa-san, please allow Kiona to go to Nagoya with the damn white belt. Please! That's all I want to see, man. Just let her go with the white belt. You were so quick to put it on Arisa, but Konami... Kiona, they don't have any belts. They just got the trio's belt. Give them the belts. Come on, man. So B ends up hitting the double foot stomp to the back of the head, which I'm not a super big fan of because it's damn near impossible for this move to look good. The only way to make this move look good is if you just have the person selling it just take a huge fucking bump. Just die. Pretty much. And that's why I don't like it, because it barely ever looks good. There's two moves that B does that I wish she didn't do. That's that double foot stomp to the back of the head, that curb stomp, and the cheeky Nando's kick. And I don't like when she does the cheeky Nando's, because I don't feel like the camera work in Stardom does that move any justice. Especially like if you go back and watch B versus Kagetsu, it was rough because she just missed. She whiffed completely. And that was the ending sequence, was the cheeky Nando's. So like those are just, I'm just, you know, being nitpicky about B's movesets. But anyways, she ends up hitting the Queen's Landing to pick up the win over Hazuki. Super quick. That's how pretty much Hazuki matches go. But B ends up with her first title defense with the red belt, pinning Hazuki, and I have to give this match a recommended rating. The match was pretty last minute because of the AEW WWE change, but they had a hell of a match anyways. I feel like, even if they were given a little more time, they probably could have done something even better. Hazuki looked like $1 million in this match, and that's the thing, is like everyone that B's facing looks like $1 million. Kagetsu, fantastic. Hazuki, $200, $200 million. Just super impressive. I really enjoy it. So we move on to the Wonder of Stardom title, which is Arisa Hoshiki versus Momo Watanabe. Stars versus Queen's Quest. I was super excited for this one. One, because it's my first Cinderella tournament that I've ever gotten to follow from start to finish. And two, because I love Arisa and I love Momo. I know they'll put on a performance either way, title or not. So it just kind of makes it more interesting that one, the Wonder of Stardom title's on the line. And two, you know, this is my first Cinderella tournament that I'm seeing come to fruition. At least the wish in that part. So we go to the pre-tapes. We have Arisa reminding everyone that this is only her second time ever going for the white belt. The first time being 8 years ago, which is nuts to think about. 8 years ago, I was just starting my CM Pulse YouTube channel. That was a long time ago, man. Momo is on her legendary 14th defense if she can beat Orisa here tonight. She reminds everyone that she beat Io Shirai. She is the ace of stardom now. But she is sort of, I guess the word is scared of Orisa's real kicks, which is something that the story's kind of been playing out, is that Orisa said that Momo's kicks are fake and that she is real. I expect someone to just get their head kicked off their shoulders. And that's pretty much what this match was. Now, I will say that I love these big title match main event entrances they do. One of my favorite ones of all time is the one they did for Jungle Kiona in Nagoya when she faced Momo. What defense was it? 12th defense, I believe, or 11th. I don't remember which one it was. But just small things like this help a lot with the atmosphere of the match, you know? Orisa ends up breaking out this very special attire for this one with her little mask and duster and stuff. I cannot help but smile when I see Orisa, man. She's so full of freaking positive energy, man. Posy vibes, dude. It takes over everything. Momo's backstage with Izumi, who is secretly thinking about Kagetsu. You can't fool me, Izumi. I know you won't say it, but I know what you feel in your heart. No big Queen's Quest flag this time for Momo, so you already know she's about to drop the championship, man. Momo still got that championship drip, though. She looks good. But you know she ain't got that flag because she's eating that pin. I already knew that from the start. So we get kicked off with this match, the main event of the evening, Korakuen Hall. The one-upsmanship starts almost immediately as Momo just takes advantage in the beginning. I mean, after 13 defenses, what do you expect? Like, Momo's obviously going to take advantage here early on. Orisa hasn't challenged for this belt in over 8 years. Momo plays it super smart early as she tries to ground Orisa and not let her use her real kicks, targeting the leg. Very smart maneuver. Orisa turns her around with a power slam on the outside and a big standing meteora when they get back in the ring. She ends up going to the top rope and hitting the 1399, which is that diving kick from the top that she does, which I swear to God, it scares me every time she does it. I feel like one day she's going to break her leg, but hey, as long as she can do it, it's a cool move to see. Momo kicks out at 2, though. She said, get that move out of here. I will say this much. I feel like Orisa would benefit greatly from adding another power move to her moveset to accompany the power slam. I like the power slam, don't get me wrong, but I feel like the last few matches she's used it a ton. I feel like I've seen her do the power slam more than I've seen her do anything else. So I feel like maybe she added another move to her repertoire that wasn't the power slam to set up, even just a regular basic body slam or something, anything else. The power slam's cool, but she uses it quite a lot. So Momo hits a B driver. She doesn't go for the pin. Instead of opting for two, I mean, this is crazy. Instead of opting for going for the B driver, which she usually does, she just goes to the top rope and hits two top rope meteoras and just takes Orisa down. Orisa kicks out at 2. It was a big kick out, man. Momo does a similar Peach Sunrise to Orisa where she kicks her arm out. I don't know if you guys remember the Kiona match with Momo, and there's a reason I remember it so much is because I really like Kiona. But anyways, Momo does a similar Peach Sunrise to Kiona in her match where Kiona goes to grab for the rope and she kicks her leg out and kicks her arm and puts it back underneath and hits the Peach Sunrise. She does that here to Orisa, but Orisa kicks out again at 2. This is huge, man. Orisa just refuses to stay down. Momo getting just super irritated. That's pretty much all of Momo's matches. She hits a Peach Sunrise, and if they kick out, she just starts getting pissed. Orisa hits another power slam in the corner. Like I said, a lot of power slams. But this time she uses that top rope move. I don't know the name of it, where she just kind of looks like she slips and falls off the top rope. Which is such a ridiculous move, and I love it because of that. Anyways, after that doesn't pick up the victory for Orisa, we get up. Momo, 2 Peach Sunrises in a row. Orisa kicks out of one of them and just happens to get her foot on the rope for the second one. Orisa is a fucking tank in this match, man. Momo is beyond pissed at this point. They get back up. They fight for a second before Orisa hits 2 huge big bicycle knees followed by 2 Brazilian kicks. And then you got it. Your new Wonder of Stardom champion, Orisa Hoshiki. She ends up pinning Momo after the 2 Brazilian kicks, and you have a new champion. I ended up giving this match a recommended rating. Felt like they did a good job. I felt like maybe if they had some more time, went a little longer, did some more stuff, they could have definitely gotten a highly recommended, but damn, this was a good match and a very good card, and I was glad to see the white belt finally change hands. Not that Momo isn't just absolutely fantastic, but there's a lot of more matches that open up now that Momo has dropped the belt. Just interesting that Momo lost to Orisa when it makes you wonder why she couldn't have just lost to Kiona in Nagoya. I'm just saying. I feel like this matchup had more to give, so hopefully we'll get a rematch at some point in the future and we get to see it again sometime. I think Momo's going to probably move up to the red belt, or at least contend for the red belt. As hell, I mean, when B won the red belt, Momo came into the ring eventually and said, hey man, that's a really cool red belt right there. It'd be a shame if I fucking took it from you. I did get a little emotional after this match as Arisa just... She's just supernatural, man. I don't know what it is about her. I can't... She just has these emotions that I start feeling the emotions and I'll be honest, I did get a little emotional. So Arisa calls all of Stardom to come up to the ring. You know, come get in the ring, do the little Stardom gimmick. But Hazuki comes in first, and Hazuki comes in by herself, and she grabs Arisa by the hair, and I'm so fucking ready for this match, man. Hazuki versus Arisa sounds fantastic. Like I said, I seriously think Hazuki is just chip on her shoulder, going straight for the top. She's been nothing but impressive, man. I'm excited to see what happens to her over the next year. So you had Stars come in the ring. Of course, everybody from Stardom, but Stars in specific. They come in the ring, but there's one person that you don't see. And who is that person? Tom Nakano. Of course. What is... She's sitting on the outside, and she does not... The look on her face, she does not want to get in that ring. Mayu and Saki had to literally push her into the ring. This is fucking great, man. I loved it. She wants none of this. She doesn't... Seeing Arisa sitting there with the white belt made Tom sick to her damn stomach. She's truly just amazing. Truly one of a kind, man. And a lot of these girls are, and that's what makes it so fun to watch, man. It's just they're all truly just one of a kind wrestlers. For the best match of the evening, I'm going to have to go with Kagetsu versus Tony Storm, which is crazy. Crazy to say because I did not even want to watch the damn match. But Kagetsu, man. It's just super impressive all the time. The best moment of the evening, I'm going to have to go with TCS winning the Artists of Stardom Championships just because they're super over. I mean, they're my favorite stable right now just because Angel Q and I are doing nothing. I'm super happy that she's super happy. And my overall show rating for the show, I'm going to have to give it a recommended. I think that they did a fantastic job, a stacked card, lots happening, bunch of title matches. They didn't really have that one like blowaway match, but every match in the card was pretty damn good for the most part, and it really ended up becoming a pretty damn good show. I was very happy with watching it. Recommended. If you have some time, check out the Corkin Hall show. That is the first episode of Big Fight Feel. We started off with the Stardom Corkin Hall show, and I'm glad that we ended up starting off this show because it was a strong show, a lot to talk about, a lot of things happening, a lot of things being moved into place, and I was happy to talk about it, man. If you guys enjoyed what you heard, I don't know what you're listening to this on. Spotify, iTunes, a Dixie Cup, I don't know. Thank you guys for watching this. I hope that you enjoyed what you heard here. I hope that you come back for the next episode. And if you have anything you'd like to say or you would like to join the community or whatever the case may be, Twitter is a great place to do it. CM Pulse or James Dizarnell, whatever the case may be. CMPULS3. Or JamesDizarnell, baby. Any of those will get you in the case and get you in the community and get you popping, man. Thank you guys so much for watching once again, and I will catch you guys next time. We go on the... What's the word I'm looking for here? Internet! For Big Fight Feel.